Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for coming to our first monthly ladies' lunch here at St. Philip's Church. Give yourselves a round of applause. When I was thinking about this, I thought about John 14, how Jesus says he goes to prepare a place for us. And I know that he has prepared this place for us, and he has done amazing work preparing Amy, who will be speaking to us today. I am Katie Freer. I'm the Director of Women's Ministry here at St. Philip's, and it has been a delight to get to know many of you, but for those of you who do not yet know me, I hope you will come up and introduce yourself, and I look forward to hearing how I can continue to serve the women here at St. Philip's Church. A few announcements. This, as we said, this is going to be a monthly series, and we are looking at dates for April and for May for this year. Once I have those set on the calendar, I will make sure that they are communicated out to everyone, but we don't have those set yet. I know that was one of the first questions people had, but that is my introduction. I'm going to introduce Amy, Amy Anderton. When I asked her for a quick bio, she said, well, how about this? She said, anchored in Christ, wife of Joe for 34 years, mother, grandmother, and she is using Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. And I can't think of a better way to lead off than with a woman who has a heart anchored in Christ and defines herself in that way. So Amy, come on up. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie, and thank you, St. Philip's. This is so exciting to be with you here today in this new series of Ladies' Luncheons. It's wonderful to be together. I'm excited to hear more about how God has moved and is moving in your lives. It really is such an encouragement for me to hear the testimonies of others. So I'm very much looking forward to the series ahead. Thank you, Katie, for opening this door for us. When Katie reached out to me asking me to share my faith story, I wanted her to know that I don't have the riveting tale that my dear husband Joe has. But if you ask me to share the story of how Jesus has been the anchor in my life, I cannot say no. My earliest memory of encountering Jesus was as a little girl in Sunday school at Parkway Village Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We had just finished our felt friend Bible lesson with the little felt board and figures. The lesson that day was on the Good Samaritan. I watched and listened to those Bible stories come to life on that felt board. But that particular morning, what I remember most vividly is the sunlight pouring in from the upper windows of that Sunday school room as I sat on a little wooden chair next to a table of scraps of whatever craft we had done that morning. I remember toys being pulled off shelves and tossed around the corner of the room, but I just sat there looking at that light and thinking, I want to be with Jesus always. I want to know him. And I remember my Sunday school teacher kneeling beside me and praying with me. It was shortly after that morning in Sunday school, I was baptized by our pastor, Brother Bob, in that same church. I'd like to take a moment here today to speak directly to those of you who work or volunteer in children's ministry, and I want to say thank you. You are planting seeds, not knowing what God has in store for those little ones. But what you do can make all the difference in their lives. It made all the difference in mine. As a young girl, another formative memory for me was my mom's Bible open and her precepts Bible study spread out on the table along with all these colored pens and pencils. She said it was for her homework, but with all those beautiful colors, it just looked like fun to me. One Bible study in particular was on Revelation. Now, I was way too young to understand much of any of it, except that it was about Jesus. The incredible imagery, the churches, the throne, the lamb, the trumpet, a dragon slayed by angels, and Jesus returning, I was captivated. And I recall grabbing those pens and pencils and sketching it all out, or at least what I was able to make of it, which was very limited. But his word came alive to me, and this was good stuff. I wish I could stand here today and tell you that my heart held fast to him as I headed into my teenage years. But my heart wanted its own way, and my will exerted itself with abandon. I liken those years to running at top speed into an incline on a treadmill. I was going nowhere fast. It was exhausting. But God, in his mercy, yanked that emergency safety cord on that proverbial treadmill, bringing me to a crashing halt. I was bloodied and bruised and worn out from trying to run away from the one who had already captured my heart. I knew who I belonged to, and I knew I was not my own. And I couldn't shake that knowing. That echo sounded in my heart and mind like never before. Even though I had tried to distance myself from God, he drew closer still, and I prayed fervently he would bind my heart even tighter to himself as my anchor. About that same time, my father, who worked for Federal Express, was asked to take on human resources in either of the two divisions he worked in the most, the Latin American division or the Asian division. Thinking the Latin American division would be an easier transition for our family because we could stay stateside, my parents made the move to South Florida. Now, our family had visited the beaches of the Florida Panhandle a handful of times, and I was nervous, but I loved the beach and the ocean, so I was excited for this new chapter. However, South Florida was an entirely different experience from what I was envisioning. To give you an idea of how different this was for us and for me, during my first week of school there, I kept hearing talk of an increased police presence in case of a drive-by shooting. I was completely clueless to what was happening. I remember leaning over before one of the classes to ask another student what was going on, and she explained the unrest in the area following a recent incident in the news. Thankfully, nothing happened, but it did have me thinking, now who thought this was a good idea? And I believe, I actually know, my parents were thinking the same thing. It was so different from where we had come from. There wasn't a church on every corner. It was certainly no holy city. In fact, the church my family ended up in was a church plant that met in, of all places, a movie theater. This new chapter was nothing of what I had anticipated, but I had a plan. My plan was to graduate and follow in my father's footsteps at Ole Miss. His family, including my granny, who is still alive, were back in Mississippi, so I would head back there and chalk this whole experience in South Florida up to just that, an experience. I don't know if you caught what I said a moment ago, but I had a plan. God had a different plan. And it was not long after I had my plan together when I met the man who had become my husband, Joe, at a pancake breakfast supporting a local ministry. He's from a small town in western Pennsylvania called Oil City, and had moved to South Florida around the same time my family had moved. He just graduated college from the University of Pittsburgh and made the move to Miami to live with his eldest brother, George, who, in Joe's own words, had a boat and could go fishing every weekend. I won't recount Joe's own story today, but in God's goodness and grace, he came to an abiding faith in Jesus Christ. He was quite literally raised up out of the depths of water into new life in Christ. And Joe's incredible faith in and love for Christ has bolstered my own. Joe and I married in South Florida in the summer of 1992. After we were married, he worked for a local insurance brokerage, and I finished college there in Florida. It was in these early years of our marriage when my quiet time with the Lord took on a consistent thread. After spending time in his word and in prayer, I would lay my heart out before him, and my constant request was, please, Lord, make a way for us out of this place. I would plead with him, Lord, you know South Florida is no place for a marriage to thrive or to raise children. As if I could explain these things. Lord, this is how it is, don't you see? As if I could have told him what was already his. And not only was this a constant thread in my prayer life, but I tell you with great remorse, it had also become a point of contention in our marriage. In the summer of 1996, 4 years after we were married, we welcomed our first child into the world, and at the same time, Joe launched a new business with friends from our church. Both beginnings were huge leaps of faith, and honestly, I was completely overwhelmed at this point. I was overwhelmed at the prospect of raising children in the environment we were in, and overwhelmed by the financial risk of Joe going out to start this new company. Despite all of my prayers and concerns, roots that I'd been hell-bent on pulling up were beginning to take hold. I remember early one morning as I was holding our newborn daughter, Ainsley, and I prayed. Tears were falling, and I could hear God's voice so clearly. Amy, all creation is mine. This place is mine. This child is mine. And she will see my world through your lens in these early years. So you better write your perspective. You better fix your eyes on me. And I will show you my goodness in this place. If he could turn water into wine, he could turn this desert into a garden. As one of my favorite hymns, Come Thou Fount, tells us, tune my heart to sing thy grace. My heart needed to be tuned to sing his grace, of his mercy, of his love. And all of me, my heart, my mind, my soul, opened slowly but surely to the goodness of God right where we were. The echo of his words took hold deep in my soul and stayed with me as we welcomed our next daughter, Windsor, our son, Jack, and daughters, Cecily and Clementine. There's not enough time to share all those details with you today, but I will say this. The beauty and goodness, the community of family and friends rooted in the body of Christ we found there, was nothing short of miraculous. God taught me to seek his beauty and goodness and to seek after his wisdom. And in order to do that, I desperately needed to root myself in prayer, in his word, and in the body of Christ. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days. And I needed him to teach me how to number mine. God grew my faith expansively during this time in my life. I leaned into him and his word because that was my lifeline, and it was the only way I knew how to set aside my vision for his. His goodness was so evidently miraculous to us and to others that when the time did come when the Lord was calling us out of South Florida, I had a friend pull me aside with concern, and she said, "Are y'all sure about this? Do you really think this is the right thing to do at this stage in your lives? You'll never be able to find this again, this kind of community." And I remember saying, "You're right, we won't. It will be entirely different. But right now, God is calling us somewhere else." And if you had told me all those years ago that when God would call us away from South Florida nearly 30 years later, that I would weep for the goodness I was leaving behind, I would have never believed you. And again, God in his kindness didn't just bring us to Charleston, but more importantly, he brought us here to St. Philip's. It would be impossible to count all the gifts and graces we've experienced over the last 6 years. Over much of a lifetime spent in prayer with him and in his word, my strong-willed heart has had to learn, and sometimes painfully, to bend to his will. I know that praying "Thy will be done" is always yes and amen. And I've learned to trust his plan not only when I don't understand, but also when I know I will not understand this side of eternity. Jesus Christ has been the anchor of my soul through both literal hurricanes and figurative ones. Y'all are no strangers to hurricanes either. In South Florida, the threats and the storms can be a lot. I stopped counting how many times we experienced them while we were there. But I remember back to when our twins, Cecily and Clementine, were born. They arrived 5 weeks early on the winds of one hurricane. They remained in the hospital NICU for 21 days. And the day they were released, we brought them home only to receive another mandatory evacuation for the next hurricane. We lived on a barrier island there. And I remember looking at Joe and saying, "I just brought these babies home. I'm not leaving." That might have been my strong will rearing its ugly head again, or it could have been exhaustion. Maybe it was a little of both. But Joe was as pointed as I've ever seen him in our marriage when he said to me, "Oh, yes, you are." And thankfully, we did safely evacuate to the home of sweet friends, God bless them, who took in all seven of us and our big dogs. As I laid my head on a pillow that night, not at home where I expected to be, I remember giving thanks while we listened to the winds rage outside. Giving thanks that I even had a pillow to lay my head on. Giving thanks for these sweet babies beside me, and that in spite of a hard pregnancy and a difficult delivery, my body was healing and I was able to nurse them without them being hooked up to machines. Giving thanks that Joe and our three other children were with me and we were safe. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. My journey with Christ has been one of learning how to, with him as my anchor, lean into those waves and to simultaneously give thanks for his goodness and his grace, particularly in the last 10 years or so. He has held me fast when the joys of this life have come rushing over me, but also through battering waves that without him would have taken me under. About 10 years ago, we went through a series of health crises with three of our children, along with health crises with both of my parents and other storms we could have never seen coming. Our children were all strong and healthy. Only one had an existing issue. They were all completely different crises, and they came on in consecutive waves. Joe and I could barely catch a breath. I remember one morning getting a call from one of our children's doctors. And he said, "Amy, is Joe there with you?" Now, I knew this wasn't a positive sign of where the conversation was headed, because what he was really asking me was if I was alone, if I had someone with me to support me, because I was going to need it. And if you know me at all, you know that I love and adore my husband, and he is as steady and strong as he can possibly be. But please know that Jesus is the anchor that holds us both. Joe had already left for work that morning, and my instant reaction to the doctor's question, "Amy, is Joe there with you?" was no, but Jesus is. And I share that with you today to say that is the anchor I know in Christ. I wish I could tell you that has always been my first response when storm waves roll in, but it was that morning. Even as we continue to weather some of those waves, we have also ridden waves of joy in these last 10 years, welcoming wonderful sons in love, a beautiful daughter in love, and precious grandchildren, along with the gifts and goodness of God we found right here among all of you. That's life, isn't it? It rolls in waves, and I'm leaning into them, trusting that the anchor will hold fast. The great British preacher, author, and pastor Charles Spurgeon said, "It is often so with us. When the winds are out and the storms are raging, there is plenty of fear, but there is no danger. We may be much tossed, but we are quite safe. For we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which will not start. One blessed thing is that our hope has such a grip of us that we know it. In a vessel, you feel the pull of the anchor, and the more the wind rages, the more you feel that the anchor holds you. He is the anchor I know many of you cling to as well. And if you don't, I pray that you would turn to him and know the abiding grace, love, mercy, and peace of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the ladies gathered here today. I thank you for the story you are writing in their lives. I pray, Father, that we would leave here today encouraged, knowing that you hold us fast. Father, I thank you that St. Philip's and Katie have opened this door for us to share our stories. And I pray that as we do, our faith grows all the more. Father, I pray that you would be with us as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amy, thank you so much. That was incredible. Y'all, I think we have all been deeply blessed by Amy being willing to come up here, as she told me when I first asked her, and as she relayed, she said, "Well, I don't speak to people very much, but if somebody wants me to talk about Jesus, I'll do that." And I mean, all I can say to that is amen, and you absolutely did. Thank you so much for sharing your heart with us. One of the beautiful things about this lunch and having an opportunity to come together is we start on time and we end on time. And today we've ended a little bit early so that you will have a chance, I hope, to catch up with some friends around the table before you have to head out. Thank you all so much for coming. You will find out when our next dates are officially on the calendar and who our next speakers are. But I invite you to invite a friend. And one other beautiful benefit of this is that we are recording these talks, and so we will have them posted on the website, and you will be able to share them with friends near and far. And I can't wait to hear how much of a blessing it will be to future generations as well. So thank you all for coming today, and I look forward to seeing you next time.